CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com on Wednesday morning. Leanne Moles here, Sia Sangweni's here, and we are ready to keep you company and hopefully entertain you, or at least inform you about some of the stuff that's going on in the world. We were talking about reports and all kinds of things just before seven, and they were much more serious than we'd like them to be for this time of the morning. But one of the other quick things I want to mention is I got an email from Dear South Africa. Remember we had Rob Hutchinson, right? From Dear South Africa on the other day. He's very much still there. There were a bunch of left-wing people who said he'd been fired as the CEO of Dear SA, and I don't know where that came from. Yeah, reports from like people who just didn't give any citations of where these reports come from. Anyway, Rob Hutchinson, who we had on the Burning Platform a couple of weeks ago, very much still in charge of Dear South Africa, and he actually sent out a, I suppose it's a petition or a public comment database, which they're busy putting together on the Firearm Control Amendment Act, which Sia brought up yesterday while we were on the show. So if you go over to DearSouthAfrica.org, you will see that there is a Firearms Control Amendment Act petition, which they would very much like you to sign. And I'm only giving this a plug because I'm a big fan of private firearm ownership. I think it's an important part of being a free person that you're able to protect and defend yourself not only against criminals and dangerous members of society and be able to make sure that your family sleep well at night, knowing that you can be the last line of defense. But I also think if government excess becomes a problem and if the government become tyrannical, you should have some way of being able to stand up for yourself. And if there are enough of us in society who are armed, then the government can never make us their slaves. We can never be subjugated completely if we have enough people who have arms. So I think it's a good idea to go and sign up, go and join up, go and make your comments at DearSouthAfrica.org. That's their actual URL, DearSouthAfrica.org. Go along and sign the petition. I think it's important that we all do this. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in since Sia brought it up yesterday anyway. So I got an email from someone who listens to the show every single day, and I'm pleased that Janet sent this to me because we spoke about the police the other day, and I'm going to breeze through this. It's quite a long email, but it's quite a nice story. She says, like my coffee, I need my daily dose of news views, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, last week, my car was broken into. At first, it didn't look like anything was taken, but let's face it, a trip to the police station is a schlep. As the day wore on, I discovered that something had been taken, says Janet. My unicorn USB drive.
Oh,
which is plugged into my car radio with the music on. Now, I know what you're thinking. What idiot takes a unicorn USB drive and leaves the radio? But wait, it gets better. The following day, I had to fetch my daughter from school, and our puppy, who hates being left alone at home, had to come with. As I felt behind my seat on the floor, I realized that her doggy bag carrier was also stolen. But our crafty thief had left his hammer behind, I suppose as a thank you for his nice new doggy bag. So I went off to the police station to hand in the hammer and to report that the unicorn USB drive and a doggy bag were stolen. And I felt really stupid, she says, but the sergeant who handled my case looked tired and cold, but he handled it with grace and humility. I had to tell him about the stuff that was stolen, and he chuckled, and then other policemen and policewomen who were in the station also came over and decided to find out whether what they'd heard was actually true, because they couldn't believe he could steal these things. During the hour that I was there, we shared jokes and had a few good laughs. When I left, the sergeant thanked me for brightening up their day and for allowing them to laugh along with me, because let's face it, the items taken were ridiculous. They're material things and can be replaced, and I think it makes a nice change to the sometimes devastating and heartbreaking things that the police have to see and hear on a daily basis. Yeah. It got me thinking how, despite the bad reputation the police have, there are some genuinely good cops out there. We all know this, but it reminds me that these men and women get up every morning to serve communities and literally put their lives on the line. I've dealt with our police here a few times, and every single time, they've been on the ball, courteous, and professional. Within one day of my reporting the case and handing in the evidence, I received a call to arrange fingerprints, had a detective call me to let me know that they had the person responsible in custody.
Wow.
I wanted to lay charges. I joked with her and said no, but if he returns my stuff, they can give him his hammer back. She laughed and told me that she wishes she had more people like me to deal with. An hour after the call, I received a text saying that the case had been finalized. Something small, but it does mean a lot knowing that one does get service, and in the process, you can make a cop giggle and feel proud of your local police station. Have a great day, Janet. Isn't that a nice story? Like, we hear so many shitty stories every day. I just love this.
It's very so cool. Nice. I kind of imagine the hammer to be a pink one with, like, a bow on it.
No, like, the thief was a bit of a small-time thief. I mean, also, the stuff that he stole was so stupid, right?
Really crazy. Goodness me. Yeah, it's very cool, though.
All of that admin later.
Well, I like the fact that these are the kind of police people that I wish we had more of. And I think this is which police station? I want to give them credit. I think it's the Brackenfell one. Anyway, whoever it is, it's in the Western Cape somewhere. And to those police people and to Janet for bringing it to our attention, thank you. You know, we need to know that there are actually good people like us doing their thing, trying to make the world a better place. It's just terrific.
Mm-hmm. So good.
There's quite a lot of other news that we want to get to. we talk about, like, the doggy bag being stolen, but how far have you gone for your pet? Because, I mean, I put up a picture yesterday of Carl sleeping here in my study where I do the show from, and there's Leanne's pet right on cue.
That cat right on cue understands the assignment.
Just amazing. As soon as we start talking about pets, she comes straight into the picture. Amazing.
And I've been pushing her face away with force. She won't give in.
Sweet man.
Gosh.
Thea and I were in a meeting yesterday, and Rena's dog had to be a part of the meeting. He also had to jump into the picture because we were talking, and she said, it's so funny that while she's sitting doing work and not talking to anyone, the dog is fine. It just sleeps. But as soon as she starts talking to someone on Zoom, the dog gets jealous and wants attention and wants to know what's going on.
The dog knows she's talking to someone else. I have that issue. Yeah. That's exactly why this one's here, because she thinks I'm talking to her.
Oh. Well, I put up this picture yesterday of Carl lying on a bed, I suppose it's a blanket that he's on, and he sits there and snores through the show. And it got me thinking about how spoilt he is, because he probably has a better life than some people in South Africa, which is disturbing. I mean, there was this video about how there are, I think, 4,000 pit toilets at schools in South Africa. It was put up by the Friedrich Naumann Foundation, who I follow on Instagram. And I do get upset. I don't think that you need to compare the two things, because there will always be someone better off than you, and there will always be someone worse than you. And just because an animal has a happy home and it has a warm bed to sleep in doesn't mean that if you took the stuff away from that animal and gave it to a human, that it would solve the problem, if you know what I mean. You can't really equate.
Yeah, everything's relative, honestly.
And I mean, you know, frankly, some people should have pets, some people shouldn't. Some people should have children, and some people shouldn't. You know, there's no way to make the world completely fair. But I was thinking about it, and some people do go to extreme lengths for their pets. And, like, even I draw the line, you know, where people kind of their whole day is ruled by their animals. And they don't go away on holiday because they're worried about leaving their animals alone. They buy them expensive food. They buy them
toys.
Like humans don't even get that kind of treatment. And I think there's a line. I mean, Sia, you saw someone at the shops yesterday.
Yeah, this is what I saw yesterday that got me thinking. I'm pretty certain there should be a line. Someone bought a pet cupcake mix. So it's advertised and promoted so that it is pet friendly. But it's a cupcake mix. So they are going to go home and they're going to mix all of this up. And they're going to get the batter and they're going to pop it in the oven and they're going to decorate so that the pet has a cupcake. That little dog or cat won't even appreciate what a cupcake is. They'll just devour it in 2 seconds. But I'm sorry, isn't that a little loopy now?
It's totally loopy.
It's not far from reality at all. I mean, there are people who hold birthday parties for their pets and invite, you know, their friends with pets around. These things happen. And you know what? If it's all a distraction because we're going to die anyway, I'm all for it. But I remember when I was in the UK once, just on holiday, and you remember Joey, who passed away this year? Well, I killed him actually at the vet. Still getting over that.
What a way to say it. All right. Jesus, what's wrong with you? You had him put down. You did the humanitarian thing.
But I remember when he went missing.
Now you've traumatized Sia as well. I mean, thanks for that.
At one point, I offered a 20,000 rand reward for him when he went missing. So if you're talking about what steps people with pets will go to, lengths, there's that.
I started researching this last night, and I discovered there are even some people who buy and pay for dog DNA kits to find out the percentage of, you know, breed they have within their dog. And they want to go the whole lineage and find out what does that look? I love dogs. I love pets. I grew up with so many dogs, but there was still a particular line. Why does it matter where your dog comes from?
Oh, to some people, it's very important, eh?
I think people do go a little bit crazy. They do stupid stuff, and there comes a point. I don't know where that point is. I don't know where to draw the line. I think it's up to everybody to pick that line for themselves. But when you're actually hand feeding your dog, or you develop, sort of a relationship that you would with a human with your dog, because it's always got to be a dog, in my opinion. It's always like a dog or a cat is a dog or a cat. And there's a line. You've got to decide where that line is. But some people who go over that line, they become pretty weird. And things get very, very creepy, and things get very crazy very quickly. Just for example, I don't know if this is over the line or not, but here is a story from Annette. She says, my dog has stairs to get onto my bed and to the couch.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, that's
cute. I had stairs for Joey, but he was too proud to use them. He simply wouldn't step on them. So I gave those to Damon, actually, for his dogs.
Okay. So here's Steph says, my mate used to take his dog to the pet physiotherapist. Maybe that's over the line.
Mm-hmm. For their health, no, I wouldn't say so. Like, what's over the line for me are people who, for example, kiss their pets.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the mouth. Like,
oh, my God.
Just kissing the fur for me is a little too much. You know, you can kiss as in put your cheek next to the animal, but your lips on their fur, this thing has been running around outside and has been rolling.
Oh, no,
in
I don't
fur,
mind that.
And then you can...
See, so, yeah, some people put their partner's feet in their mouths. You know, that's just as gross as you want.
And other body parts.
Now, clearly I judge way too many people then, and I'll continue doing so. Sorry, that's too much for me. This thing licks its own genitals, then you also want to play with... goodbye.
So, yeah, think of all your exes and what genitals they've licked. You know?
They brush their teeth every day. Dogs don't necessarily do that.
I mean, most dogs do.
I don't like this because I don't actually know where I put the line myself. You know? I don't know. Like here, for example, Tracy says, my pug had rhinoplasty. Like a nose operation. His snoring was so severe. I mean,
you get that, and you also get, I remember going to my dentist who I'd been going to for years, and he mentioned that he treated, I think it was a boxer that week for dental treatment. But the sad thing there, and Tracy, sorry to drive the issue home, is that humans have bred them to the point of creating sinus issues or short sinus passages where they don't have enough surface area in which to absorb oxygen.
Okay, well, if it's something legitimate and there's a medical reason why, sure, I get it. But I don't think Tracy was sitting there going, you know, I'd love you more if you had more of a pointed snout.
No. Yeah, especially with pugs have got that exact issue with the shortened nasal passages.
I don't think I'll ever buy a cupcake mixture for Carl. Like, that's, I'm never going to sit in the kitchen and actually cook his meals.
No, well, you wouldn't even do it for yourself or for a girlfriend or the love of your life.
Exactly right. There's no way. It's no way. Yeah, I don't know. I also, you know, the fact that these animals lick their own assholes, it's just, that should be enough. To be enough reason for you to not kiss them on the mouth. But also, if you've ever smelt one of your pet's breath after they've, you know, yeah, it's just, it's really, what they eat is just, you think humans are gross. Animals are even more gross. So anyway, there's that conversation that we had to have because CS saw this woman buying cupcake mixture for the dog. Craziness. Leanne's got some things on her agenda. She threw her toys in Checkers yesterday. What happened?
So I don't go to Checkers.
Are you getting angered all over again now?
Yes, I'm reliving it. But it is next to my pharmacy, which I go to once a month. So sometimes I do go in to get some, I don't know, bread and oros and things like that.
Oros?
yeah. So went in yesterday and I had literally bread, oros, and a Coke.
All right.
And the queues were just endless. Oh, my word, what a mistake. And also, my pride was hurt because I went to the express queue and stood in the queue. And I could hear someone, you know, you can hear someone in the background going, Susie, Susie, Susie.
Yeah.
And then I realized she was talking to me. I turned around. I'm like, yes. Susie, the queue is here. The queue is here. And she points to behind her, and there are about 15 people. So my pride was ended. And I walked away and found another queue behind two enormous full trolleys. Anyway, stood there. Halfway through the lady's trolley in front of me, she goes, oh, I forgot something, and runs off to her car in the parking lot.
Oh, God, no.
So after about 7 minutes, I'm now looking at all these other queues again. I've been there for 20. Do you not have any shame in saying that you've got something in the car? I would turn around. I would go, oh, my word. I am so sorry. I fucked up. I've forgotten something in the car. Please cancel everything that you've rung up. Let these kind people behind me who've been waiting go ahead into the queue. And right. I will re-enter with all of my goods. No, she just expected us to wait.
So you confronted her?
She wasn't there to confront. She was flitting about in the parking lot. So I just let my toys go when I said to everyone behind me, do you know how long I've been standing here for? So shame. The teller and everyone else got it from me because that woman wasn't there to get it from me. But I eventually went to the cigarette counter and paid for my stuff there. But I felt it's the same as people who make a U-turn on a highway because they've forgotten a turn-off or they stop and reverse. If I do that, I drive until the next turn-off, even if it's 10 Ks.
Exactly.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Well,
it's just inconsiderate, honestly.
People are hugely inconsiderate. I mean, you can even see, and we've, God knows how many times we've brought up examples of this on the show, but it happens every single day. People are just in a bubble. They only think about themselves, their own problems, their world. They don't care what's going on in the rest of the world. They don't care about the real world. They don't care about other people. They're just consumed by their own life. And it's just, this is an unfortunate thing. It's like pure selfishness and self-absorption. You see it writ large on social media, but in actual human interactions, it's like whatever my problems are, they are just way more important than me inconveniencing the rest of the city. Like, if I if I need to do a U-turn here and I'm driving a truck, I don't care if I keep 20 people waiting at that robot for 5 minutes longer than they should. It's that they must just deal with it. It's because I need to turn this truck around. Or someone who stands in the middle of the aisle at the shopping center and the supermarket, and they block the whole aisle because they're busy looking for their particular kind of popcorn that they like to eat on the TV, and everyone has to wait. Or someone
you find that often it's you have this like mental fight with the same person from the beginning of your shop to the end. So you'll start off your shop and she's the one in front of you who takes ages to get her hand sprayed because she's asking where to find the pineapples from the person who's spraying hands with disinfectant.
Well, I mean,
and then every single lane you bump into her because she's trying to find which is baking. Yeah. No. Next lane she's doing this. Then she ends up in front of you in the queue, and then she's talking on her phone and leaves this huge gap in front of her. Oh, and then you get into your car and you try and leave, and it's the same freaking woman in her car who's blocking your way.
Oh, no. Okay. So, Leanne, I think you were ticked off because of what had earlier happened with you waiting in the wrong queue. So this second lady got everything out of you. How much had she already rung up before she realized something?
She had one of those basket trolleys, so where they hook three baskets onto a trolley, onto a steel frame. Those were overflowing, each of them. And she'd already been through that, and she had another one of those to go.
So she was halfway through ringing things up and then was just going to quickly run to the car and come back?
Well,
you know, again, like she could have
waited. I don't think that's too extreme, guys. So I get what...
All right.
I'm never going shopping with you. Screen.
No, so I get everything that you guys are saying, how we're in society and we coexist and how we don't want to burden the other person. I think the other side of living in society is having to take a step back and make certain sacrifices for someone else when they're
She must make the sacrifice. She must say, cancel the toll bill and I'll start again. I've made a mistake.
What if she's running late? What if she has family waiting for her? What if she has she hasn't picked up her kids and she's been a little absent-minded? I'm just a little considerate.
Yeah. Sia, here Greg says, and this is a good point, people like Sia who order food changing the menu don't have any you don't have any right to speak on this because you're
anything we're discussing?
Because it's all embarrassing.
No, it is not. Sometimes you just need to be, you know, I really don't mind. You know, I saw a message from someone
earlier.
I love when you two are fighting for a change.
Someone else, it was Monica who gets ticked off by people who pay their bills at the till as well. Those are services that are offered. Why would you get annoyed by that?
I don't do that
because I know how much it annoys everyone else.
Have you ever stood behind one of those people at the ATM and then they get their bank statement, then they draw some money, then they deposit some money, then they pay a bill, they move some money from one account. It takes like 20 minutes.
And you stood behind them because they had bread, Oros, and a Coke, and you thought, oh, this will be quick.
And then they're also the same people who will then call, get on the phone and call Robert at home and say, Rob, did we really pay this? How much should I pay? And just, it's not the end of the world. It's just five extra minutes. Someone is maybe doesn't have the best handle of their day, but that is society. I mean...
No, Leanne, you need to be organized,
So you were delayed by a few minutes. Did you die? Did you lose
No, but I did get an email from my employer saying, why haven't you answered this request yet?
All right. I think being considerate is just something that we don't do enough in this country. And Derek says, in Japan, kids are taught basics like helping others, cleaning up before they even learn their ABCs. You know, I do think there's some value to this stuff. I think it gets you huge points in society if you're considerate, if you thank someone for something, if you stand aside and let an old person go in front of you, if you're polite, if you open a door for a woman and let her go first, if you hurry up at the pay point so that you don't waste everyone's time, if you're not that person who goes to exit the parking and then blocks it up because you forgot to pay at the machine. You know, doing those things, what it does is it means people look at you and they go, wow, a good person, a person who's doing, like in Janet's email about the police, someone who's helping society move ahead rather than holding us all back. I think that's massively important. We don't pay any attention to that in this country. Everyone's in survival mode. Everyone's doing their thing. They're only thinking about themselves. That stuff, it just leads to problems. And I do think it's worth referring to.
But my
yeah, think about what you're about to say.
Is, yes, my explanation is some people don't have the intention to ruin everyone else's day and to be a horrible person. Some people just don't have the best grip on their lives. They yep. need some consideration, and that is just part of being in society.
Sure.
Leanne, if that lady came back and apologized to you and everyone in line, would
no,
that have made things...
apologize before you go.
You see?
Turn
so
around,
you wouldn't even have...
turn around and say, if she's not going to say, you know what, take my spot and I'll go to the back of the queue because I made a mistake. No. If she's not going to do that, then turn around and say, I'm having the worst day ever. I'm so sorry for this. I need to go to my car and get something else. You know, I really apologize. Right. Then I could like, say to her, I understand.
Like the tiniest explanation. You don't have to let them in on all of your problems, but it's like it's a manners thing. It's like these people haven't been socialized properly. You know how you complain
but she
when.
She didn't know that I existed.
Go back to dogs for a minute. You know, like if your dog isn't socialized and it behaves badly around other dogs, then you can't take it out to a park, for example. If humans haven't been socialized properly, if they were raised like wolves, then they really don't have a place in society. They should stay fucking at home because we are all trying to make it work and we're trying to make the machine work. If you can't communicate effectively with other people and tell them that there's a problem, hey guys, so sorry, I'm gonna need to quickly go and get my wallet. I left it in the car or whatever. Do you mind? Then people are always like really forgiving, especially South Africans. Mm-hmm. I give us a hard time, but we're usually very understanding because we know this is a difficult country to live in and nobody gets a free ride. Nobody. So if you turn to the rest of the people in the queue, especially if it's building up like that, and you say, hey, listen, I'm really, really sorry. You say to the person immediately behind you, you don't even have to talk to everybody. Some people are shy. Just say, listen, I'm really sorry. I've screwed up. Do you mind if I quickly go and get this? It might take a minute or two. I really apologize, but you know, I don't know where my head was. Then it's understandable. But to just go, not care, doesn't matter to you that everybody else is waiting. You just don't give a shit how inconvenienced everyone else is. That is the opposite of Ubuntu. That is the opposite of caring. That's the opposite of being a good member of society. That's shit.
Amen, sister.
Yeah. You can't defend that person. Come on, Sia.
I hear you guys.
Oh,
I
boy.
Think what you guys are raising is valid. I think your justifications are on the extreme side of things. And they're sound, but I'm also saying, you know, let's leave a little space for more compassion and humanity.
I think the compassion and humanity is on our side already.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree then.
I think the person who's being selfish and not showing any humanity is the person who does whatever they fucking want and makes everyone else.
I definitely am not saying they aren't being selfish, but I'm also saying their intention perhaps is not to be selfish.
Well, Basit Sana says this message is still not landing with Sia based on his expressions.
Exactly. Like I'm robbing you. I don't intend to like mess up your life, but I'm just going to rob you.
Sergio says C is holding up the flag for millennials.
Yeah,
this is not a millennial thing. Yes, and by the way, I'm a very kind and courteous person. Okay, I
no, you
just I even feel angst asking for, if I'm shopping and I need to ask for a different size or ask if they have this product in a different color. I even feel bad because I think, oh my gosh, could they not be helping someone else and who else needs them in the store? Like, I'm that panicky and angsty. But
be,
I also
be
know,
more like that, Sia.
No, but I also know when someone is having a bad day or if someone is so consumed, I'll say slightly rightfully so in their own head, let's be a little more compassionate.
Well, Sia can't even see what's being done wrong. Shocking, says someone when staring at Pikachu. Daniel says, Sia, it's not about their intention to be mean to others. The point is they don't even think that there are others that they're going to inconvenience. We need to
How
think about
How do you know they're people. Unthinking about that?
Well, Steph says you've lost this one, Sia.
Okay.
So, Sia, your neighbor who sings is also not selfish. She's just sharing her gorgeous voice with you.
And you know, I've let her be. And look, winter rolls around. She doesn't stand on her balcony anymore because it's cold. And she sings from indoors. It's just part of living in society. If well, I couldn't stand for that, let me move to the desert.
I'm going to give the final word to Sandra, who says, Sia, it's just typical of young people today. Self-absorbed and no manners. Yes, Sia.
Wow.
Exactly, Sia. We're leaving you with that. All right, let's turn our attention to Sean Saunders. Sean is, of course, the co-founder of Revix. We talk to Sean on a weekly basis because that is how quickly things change in the world of cryptocurrency. And we're looking at the prices right now, $36,500 for a Bitcoin, $2,616 for Ether. As we speak at the moment, another week of incredible developments in the world of cryptocurrency. That's why we keep going to Sean. He's our go-to guy. And Revix is the place where you can find out all about this. So we've got to talk about a couple of things. First of all, how are you, Sean?
Morning, Gareth. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good to see you. It's been another bumpy week. There's not really anything to celebrate, but there's also nothing to be particularly concerned about. There are some issues that have started to crop up. I think SARS, the South African Revenue Service, have finally made some statements about cryptocurrencies, and this is obviously going to affect the way that South Africans interact with Bitcoin, with Ethereum, with Revix, with all the other platforms that you can buy and sell crypto on. What have they actually said, and how does it affect you and me?
Yeah, sure. Before I even get into what SARS have said, I think a lot of people that invest in crypto, it's not even like this dirty little secret. People don't report their taxable gains when it comes to crypto. It's sort of been this major issue that's existed literally since people started investing in cryptocurrencies. And the tax authorities now have seen this $1 trillion asset class, 2.2 trillion now, asset class emerge, and now they want a piece of the pie. So SARS is a little late to the party, to be completely honest, because, you know, there should have been, I guess, you know, sort of requiring exchanges like Revix and like other exchanges in South Africa and platforms to actually provide information on behalf of customers. But they've sort of put the onus on the individual that is investing in crypto. So as much as Revix would like to go on a customer's behalf and provide information to SARS, because we have a lot of customers that ask us about this, we actually can't. There is no regulatory paperwork that we can actually file to say, listen, Joe has made this much money or lost this much money, and we provide that to SARS. So if you deal with a broker, you would have something called an IT3C or an IT3B, and this form would be provided by your financial institution to SARS on your behalf. Now, with Revix, we're working on some really interesting statements, which makes interesting statements, actually, that sounds weird, but a statement that makes just reporting taxable gains a lot easier. So this will be something we launch later this year. But I guess in a nutshell, what SARS has come out to say is that you have to report gains yourself, and you need to be able to track your gains or losses. And there's two kinds of gains or losses. Yeah.
Sorry, that's not so unusual. I mean, that's what we have to do with all income that we declare and put forward to SARS. Of course, if they catch you out and you've been lying, then you can face some very stiff penalties. But that's how it works with normal money. You know, you have to declare to SARS and pay income tax on whatever money you've made in a year, and then you reconcile that at the end of that year, and SARS either give you some of that money back or you owe them more money. That's how it works. So it is up to the individual. Yeah. Why would cryptocurrency be any different? They can't expect you guys to be telling them about information that that we're not volunteering ourselves, unless, of course, they have suspicions that you are hiding things.
I think that's really the big point here, is that how does SARS actually get access to this information? So with Revix, you know, we've never had to disclose any information to SARS or any other tax authority. What happened recently, and this is with a few other exchanges in South Africa, SARS went to them and they said, listen, you need to give us information about these individuals. Obviously, you don't know if you had information handed over to SARS or whatever, but I mean, that's essentially what happened. Now, I'm of the viewpoint, and I agree with you, Gareth, that it, at the end of the day, SARS should come out with a directive and they say, listen, this is how cryptocurrency should be taxed. The onus is on either you as the taxpayer or you as the platform. The problem, though, is that for a lot of people, you're talking about airdrops, you know, where a cryptocurrency gets given to you when you own another cryptocurrency, sort of like a dividend. You're talking about some exotic cryptocurrencies that exist out there that don't have tradable markets in South Africa, which makes actually just reporting for the average person a really stressful sort of event every single year. And, you know, you have sleepless nights thinking, oh, well, you know, SARS is going to come after me. And, you know, how do I exactly report these gains? And as a company that tries to make investing in crypto really easy, we actually want to be able to help customers with this. And reporting your taxes, you know, is the right thing to do. And as I said at the start of the show, it's this dirty little secret where people are like, well, you know, I'm just not going to report my crypto taxes. No one will ever know. And I think, you know, if you actually start looking at the longer term opportunity in this asset class and the growth of this, it's going to become more mainstream, right? So, you know, getting on top of your taxes is incredibly important. But I think there's another interesting point to note here, which is there's kind of two different taxes when it comes to crypto. If you invest for less than a year, and I mean, this is kind of a generalized term, but if you invest for less than a year, you are deemed to have any gains at your marginal income tax rate, right? So whatever you pay based on your income every single month, that tax bracket is then what you would be paying on any of your gains, which is pretty high. And if you invest for more than a year and you take that long-term investing approach, then any gains are treated as capital in nature. And again, there's all this jargon when you're talking about tax and all the rest. But capital in nature means that you're taxed at that capital gains tax rate, which is substantially lower. It's just another reason why we advocate taking a longer-term investing approach when it comes to investing in crypto. And what's also interesting to note, I think, is around the crypto transactions. Because a lot of people think that if you go from, say, Bitcoin to Ethereum, Ethereum to Bitcoin, there's no taxable event. But in actual fact, those are taxable events.
That's a big development.
Yeah, there's this argument that if your intention is to hold, and again, SARS needs to come out with greater clarity on all of this, but if your intention is to hold an investment for a 1 or 2 year period, and that investment, like one of our bundles, actually has a predefined rule set that says, okay, right, every single month, I just want to hold the top 10 cryptocurrencies equally weighted. There is an argument to be made there that each of those rebalances then aren't taxable events. Why? Because you're not the one actioning this. You're following an investment approach. But again, until SARS comes out with a directive on how exactly this will be handled, and they should hopefully do so before the end of the year, then Sean, we'll know more about this.
What does this mean for ordinary investors and not just people who are buying on Revix, for example, one of your indices, but people who own currently some cryptocurrency? Now, as I understood it, the tax event only occurs when you cash out, when you change Bitcoin back into rands or some other currency. Is that still the case until we have clarity, or should people start panicking and making moves at the moment? Should they be speaking to their auditors? Will the auditors even know what to say if you acknowledge these things to them? Because many auditors don't know the first thing about cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, so this is a difficult thing, right? Because there's different cryptocurrency prices across different exchanges. So again, this is one of the reasons why you sort of have to have the platform start stepping up and, you know, helping their users with tax.
Right.
But for the average Joe, a crypto event actually, or a taxable event in crypto, actually occurs when there's a crypto to crypto transaction. That's what SARS has said. However, there is the argument to be made to say, listen, if you happen to go between, say, Bitcoin to Ethereum, back to Bitcoin into rands, that, you know, that net amount that you take out is the only taxable amount that you should be reporting to SARS. But again, it's like anything when it comes to tax. Tax is not the straightforward sort of, okay, right, I just made this gain, let me just report that to SARS. You should be consulting with a tax advisor. If you've had a lot of complicated crypto transactions, you know, it's just best practice. I mean, you can reach out to us at Revix. We're more than happy to help you. We're not tax advisors, but we can definitely put you in touch with some smart people. But it's always best to do your homework. And, you know, if you're going to be investing in this asset class over the long term, it's just, you know, do the right thing. You don't need to be concealing any information. You've made a good gain if you've been in the market for a while now. So, yeah, I think just take a longer term approach here.
Wow. All right. Well, we've got to keep up to date with all of these things. And if you take your money seriously, you know that where you make money, there's going to be government trying to get their slice of the pie. That's just how it works. I mean, there are people like me who think that all tax is theft, but you still have to pay Caesar and render unto Caesar that which is his. So unfortunately, there's no way around this. And anybody who thought that cryptocurrency was going to be a way to get out of tax, I'm afraid that that was a very short-lived and false way to conduct yourself financially. So thank you, Sean. It's always good to get these updates. And, of course, as developments occur, you'll keep us up to date from here on in.
Yeah, we definitely will. And, right. Yeah, you know, tax is one of those areas. I agree with you there, Gary. I mean, the last thing you want to be doing is paying your profits away to somebody else. But
you know, like just from a philosophical point of view, like what right does government have to take a slice of the pie when you've been the one who's moved your money to X, Y, or Z? They don't deserve any of that. Otherwise, they would have moved their money there too. And it's not their money. They're stealing from you. But what can you do? They have the law on their side and they have the police on their side and they have the courts on their side. So you're not going to fight that battle and win. You have to pay the tax. So this is just something we've learned. Look at you. You've just gone from Sean Saunders, Revix.com to Sean Saunders Tax Consultant in one fell swoop.
Not a tax consultant, not tax advice, but I'm definitely here to say that taxes can be complicated and we want to help you. So, yeah, that's if you'd like to chat further about that.
Thanks, Sean. Nice to see you, man.
Good. Thanks, Gareth.
It's Sean Saunders. Okay, Revix.com. You can go and find out more. You can also get all the latest developments and information from Revix. Follow them on social media at Revix Invest on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They allow you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market.
And, but what did you say one Bitcoin is now?
$36,738. Why are you laughing? Are you mocking us, Leanne? What do you think? What do you think?
I'm just like my chances of buying one Bitcoin are completely blown.
But Leanne, you can buy a piece of it. I mean, you can buy fractional shares in a Bitcoin. You don't have to own an actual coin. In other words, if you have 500 Rand, you can put 500 Rand into Bitcoin.
But you want to say, you want to be able to say, I own one Bitcoin.
No,
you know what I mean?
I don't own a Bitcoin. No,
okay.
you can own a piece of it. That's crazy. I mean, that's like, you know, just because you own some gold doesn't mean you have a bar of gold bullion in your boot like Sia does.
Okay.
Yes, of course.
I don't even know why Sia is still here, so please don't even.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Are you two still fighting about being rude in a shop?
No, I was just reading some of the comments, and I'm just glad everyone's on my side and that I'm right.
You reckon majority rule is the way to go, Hayley Ann, just because people agree with you.
The democracy.
Yeah, sure. I'm always happy to hear the outlying opinion. I don't always think the majority know what the hell they want. So I'm still giving Sia some benefit of the doubt here. Anyway,
you don't even have to.
Please, one at a time. Sia, go, it's your turn, and then I'll let Leanne go.
I know that my words will ring true one day when Leanne has her dogs nipping at her heels and they're in the car and there's one who's sick and she's rushing to go to the vet and then she has to go and drop something off with her parents, but then she also had to stop by and just quickly get something at the shops, but then she realizes she forgot her card in the car. Then she'll remember this moment and
I'll apologize for it and acknowledge the people around me. To end it on a happy note, yes. I realized that I absolutely love spending other people's money. So my brother gave me his card rather and deposited a whole lot of money into the account so that I could buy. It's basically birthday month happening for us at the moment.
So
you have those in the family.
in your family, do you have a Stockfell? Is that basically what you're telling us? It's okay. You can admit that.
I might call it that.
Yeah.
But it's my brother, Stockfell. It's definitely just a loan. But yeah. I went and bought the most fabulous gift, and it was beautifully wrapped. And, you know, it's, even if you're not spending your own money, retail therapy is a thing.
Absolutely.
Did you buy this gift for yourself because it's your birthday month?
No, it's my mom's birthday on the same day. So it was for my mom.
Nice.
But, yeah, even, it doesn't matter if it's your money. In fact, it's better when it's someone else's money.
Okay.
It's selecting gifts.
I could vibe with that. I like that. Yeah, someone else's money you could spend. Yes, I like that. That's a good idea. Spend other people's
money. So if anybody needs me to buy gifts or select gifts for anyone,
let me know.
Yeah. I'm very good at it, but I'll need to take your money. Thanks. Bye.
I wanted to, well, I'll still say it, but I'll put the disclaimer since I'm so judged this morning and since I still am judged about the fact that I take groceries from my parents' house and I take their crockery as well, which isn't taking, it's like my parents, so what's theirs is mine. Leanne, if you want to feel better, most banks only give a person a notification if you swipe more than 100 rand. So you can always easily swipe for something that's 99 rand or more.
Look at you two.
No one notices it at the moment. My dad has bought me so many things.
Oh, really? He has, huh? And he doesn't even
know. For 99 rand and 98 cents.
Yes.
You're
both just crooked. Now, apparently, the MPs, the members of parliament, have had to release their annual gift registry. Now, basically what happens here is, if you're a member of parliament, you have to acknowledge any gift given to you, even if it's something worthless, you know, something like 5 rand or 20 rand or whatever. You have to acknowledge that you received these gifts and you have to declare them so that parliament can be sure that there isn't any lobbying that involves bribes and corruption and fraud. I mean, like people would just leave a gift for you at parliament. We know that bribery and corruption and fraud takes place at a much higher level in this country. But anyway, they've had to hand in their list of gifts. And some MPs have acknowledged all the things that they've got. So listen to some of the gifts that members of parliament in South Africa have got. Sia's got the complete list. It's hilarious what people are giving MPs.
Yeah, firstly, I'm just a little confused by how we only get the information in 2021 that it was gathered from 2019. But I'll just read the statement as is and you tell me if you understand it. So this latest edition of Parliament's Register of Members' Interests has shed light on the gifts the current cohort of MPs received in the first of their 5-year term, which began in 2019. So all of that, this is how we have it now. So just, this is across the board of all the MPs. They have received gifts such as fruit baskets, bouquets of flowers, free soccer tickets, livestock, overseas trips, cash donations, and even canned fish.
Canned fish. That's the thing that got my attention.
As long as it's not that type of fish from, it's one of the Nordic countries that you'll literally gag if you open it.
Sjurströmming.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I just want to quickly bring this up because Leanne's reminded me. Do you remember when we watched videos of people opening up cans of Sjurströmming in Norway? Whoa. And just watching the videos made us gag and want to throw up. Just watching the videos, you can't smell anything, you can't taste anything. And what they try to do is like a family will sit around a table and they'll open up this can. And then everyone starts throwing up because the stuff is so gross. And it's like a game where everybody tries not to throw up, but everybody does. It's so revolting.
It also reminds me, Gareth, of that time when we were allowed tin openers and things on airlines. And when we were allowed to fly.
Yes.
Of that woman who... Because it was one of those airlines where you have to buy your food. Mm-hmm. So she avoided that by bringing?
She brought a tin of pilchards onto the plane, and she sat right next to me and opened up a tin of pilchards and smeared on biscuits right next to me. You know what that smells like on a sealed airplane from Los Angeles to New York? I wanted to die, and this woman was a disgrace of a human being. She was exactly the kind of person who should not have a vote. She should not have a house. She should live in the forest. She should live in a cave, this creature. And it still upsets me. Look, I'm still getting upset now, years later.
No, I think rightfully so.
God. Ew.
Who does that? Who opens up a tin of pilchards on a plane? Talk about being inconsiderate. My God.
It's a tinned fish, huh?
No.
Oh, right. Yes, back to that. Okay. So I'll start with the MPs that we mostly know, and then there's some who have received some bizarre things that we don't really know. But for example, Police Minister Begicele, he declared a luxury watch that he was gifted by the King of Saudi Arabia that's worth a very casual 750,000 rand.
Oh, my word.
It's a gift.
But he declared it.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
He declared it. But, I mean, what kind of person is the King of Saudi Arabia? And what does he really want by giving a demonstrable fool like Begicele a gift that costs 700,000 rand? Please. We know there's something dodgy going on there.
Finance Minister Praveen Gordhan is amongst the biggest shareholders as an MP. He declared a total of over 40,000 shares in companies including Nedbank, Naspers, Investec, ShopRite, Bidvest, and British American Tobacco.
Now, it sucks to be a communist and then own shares in so many different companies, Praveen. Maybe it's time you reevaluated that ideology of yours.
Corporate Governance Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, she declared a bunch of things that are actually worth less in the greater scheme of things. She listed them as gifts from a family friend, in inverted commas, saying that most of these gifts are actually less than 1,500 rands. So some of her gifts included flowers, pajamas, a wall mat, horns, clay pots, earrings, tea, and a dinner set. So, okay.
Give a man a 750,000 rand watch or 250, whatever it was, and give a woman pot plants, pajamas, perfume,
and a tea set.
Yeah. DA MP Glynis Breitenbach declared that she had received over 2 million rands from the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, which fitted a legal bill. She also declared a return business class ticket worth about 55,000 rand, paid for by a Mr. N. Kirsch. A week-long holiday.
You're going to be Googling him now, aren't you?
No, we actually do know him.
I'll
keep quiet. She also declared a week-long holiday. So surprisingly, EFF leader Julius Malema declared quite a short list of gifts, ranging from books and flowers to free Soweto Derby tickets. His most expensive gift was a cell phone, a Samsung Galaxy S8, worth 11,000 rands, which he says
he's lying. He did not get any gifts. He just wanted to put himself on the list. No one gave him gifts.
So hang on
a
second.
He was just like, let me pretend I got these presents.
Yeah. I think probably are people. You know, it's like those people who don't get a rose on Valentine's Day when you're at school. You're like,
and you just want to be counted.
So you send one to yourself.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So Glynis Breitenbach had 2 million rand in legal fees paid for by the F.W. de Klerk Foundation. That's a pretty big ticket item. I mean, it's not a personal gift in terms of, like, she can wear it like Begicele wears his watch from the King of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
It's going to legal fees, and I assume that those legal fees would be for that case that she had against the NPA when they dismissed her. And she won that case fair and square. So that to me seems reasonable, and she's admitting it. They have to declare holidays. They have to declare jewelry, clothes, tea sets, all this kind of thing. Is there anything that's really, really, like, impressive? Is there anything that you and I might want as a gift? Because I don't want legal fees paid or or a watch from the King of Saudi Arabia, but is there something I might want?
Well, looking at like big money, ANC MP Giovanni April was awarded a 5 million rand tender by the Department of Public Works over a period of 3 years. That's big money. And then a lot of people have just...
How is that even allowed? How is an MP, a sitting MP allowed to receive a tender? How?
And then there are a lot of people who just have very generous friends. You know, there's an EFF MP, Tembinkosi Apheleni. She declared he declared three monetary donations. You know, things like 30,000 rands, they say, from a friend, and 25,000 rands from an Eastern Cape church. Like, who just readily gives out money like that? Another ANC MP, Boy Mamabolo, said he received 40,000 rands from a friend as a gift for his son's birthday. He also received a car sponsorship listed from a friend as well. It must be nice to have very generous friends.
Yeah. These are good friends to have. Shit.
Yeah, and wrapping up, DA leader John Steen has only declared a Johnny Walker Black Label whiskey, which was estimated at 2,500 rand, and a bearded rhino from the US consulate, and cigars and coffee from the Cuban Foreign Service. And then finally, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni declared Rwandan art crafts and a box of Swiss luxury chocolates. He also declared a bottle of Scotch whiskey. And he listed each of these items as worth, as 1,500 rands in worth.
I'm actually going to send a gift to Tito, to John Steenhuisen, and to Julius Malema, because I have their phone numbers, right? So I can actually get hold of them and I can send them a gift. I can ask them for their delivery address. And I'm going to send I'm going to send them each a bottle of whiskey or tequila or something, and then we'll see if they actually reveal this in their gift register.
You're going to wait 2 years to see if your gift comes out.
I want them to say not from a friend. I want them to say from Gareth Cliff, and I want people to see that gift. Julius and John Steenhuisen and Tito a bottle of something. I want them to see that in the registry. I want my name to
and
come.
Put something stupid in there, like a box of Smarties or something.
Yes.
And then I have to declare that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or maybe even something embarrassing, like a box of condoms.
Yeah.
Yes, because they'd have to list all of that.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to do it. What the hell? All right, everybody, that's all we got time for this morning. It is a Wednesday. It is the 2nd of June. I hope you're having an excellent day so far. I hope your day continues to be excellent. Keep warm. It is freezing in South Africa today. Mm-hmm. All over the country, it's pretty shitty. And if you're listening to us from overseas, be grateful that you're a little bit warmer than we are this morning. See you tomorrow. Be good. CliffCentral.com.